Hello, everyone. Today's devotion comes from Ephesians chapter 4. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll read that for us. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. In the previous chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel being once a mystery and being revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what Paul talks about in today's chapter hinges on this. After having the gospel revealed, we are now called towards unity and a life that reflects the character of God. In the ESV translation, there's a subheading for verse 17 until the end titled, The New Life. And this is where I want to focus on for today's devotion. We are called as receivers of the gospel, as followers of Jesus. We're called to lead a completely new life from whatever life we've led previously. a new life that reflects the character of the one we follow. As it says in verse 24, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. When Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian church, I'm sure he wrote it knowing that there were people who, even after having the gospel revealed to them, had a hard time putting on this new life in the likeness of God. Yes, of course, we are forever changed when we receive the gospel, but this process of putting off the old self, being renewed in the Spirit, and living a new life in the likeness of God is one that takes time and refinement. And I'm confident that Paul knew that. That's why he wrote this letter, to encourage those who were being renewed to keep chasing after the likeness of God. I was saved sometime in late middle school or early high school, and I remember in high school, sometime after being saved, I questioned in my mind whether I was really saved. And the reason I questioned is because even though I gave my life to Christ and trusted in Him as my Savior, there were areas of my life that were tougher than others to become renewed. I remember reading passages like Ephesians 4 about living a renewed and changed life and thinking to myself, I don't think that's me. My old life hasn't completely changed around. But what I failed to realize then was that this renewing of my life, this putting off the old self and putting on the new, this was a process. I failed to realize that chasing after the character and likeness of God was not an instantaneous magic button, but a project that would be pursued until the day I die. Paul, in this letter, is exhorting those whom the gospel has already been revealed, people who have already been given the Holy Spirit, who, it says in verse 30, who is a seal, a guarantee until the day of redemption. Paul is writing these things about living a renewed life to Christians. Of course, they are already saved, but this ongoing process of renewal, sanctification, putting on the new self, is one that requires time. We are not saved because we live in the likeness of God. We live in the likeness of God because we are saved. Because we are saved, we are called to put away falsehood, to not remain angry, to no longer steal, to not talk in corrupt ways, to put away bitterness and wrath, and instead to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving as Christ has done for us. We are called, and not only called, but also moved to not grieve the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We pursue the likeness of God because He's already given us grace, the proof of which is the Spirit who lives in us. So let's chase after His likeness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for your grace which it enables us to put off our old selves and put on the new. On our own, Lord, what can we do? But with You, receiving Your grace through the power of Your Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we're able to become renewed, to live in the likeness of the one we love. Help us, Lord, to identify the specific ways in which You are calling us to become renewed. Even though it's a difficult process, I pray that supernatural joy would arise as we chase after Your likeness, because we aim to not grieve the Holy Spirit, but to please You. All of this hinged upon the grace You've already shown us so abundantly. So Lord, we thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.